Hosea, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It's one of the easier findings, minor prophets, because when you hit Daniel, Hosea is right after it. So that was not so bad. But also we'll look at a little bit, a couple verses in Jonah later, and then after you find Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, you can mark it. And then I want you to turn to Psalm 127 for our reading this morning. We'll read the 127th Psalm. When you find Psalm 127, when you're ready to read, stand together so I know and we'll read it together. We'll come back to Hosea 4:6. Just hold a finger there. If you're having a hard time with Hosea 4:6, you know, whatever. Let's read the 127th Psalm. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to read the Word of God. And as we come this morning, I pray that we would think about children and babies, and you would focus our attention on what your Word says about it, and so we know why we stand where we stand. And so I pray now that the blessing of the Spirit of God will be with us, and you'll help me to make the sense of what we're saying, to make it understandable, and apply it to our own lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You can flip back over to Hosea chapter 4, and we'll get there in just a second. I mentioned a moment ago that things are bad in the state of New York. I mean, they are real bad in the state of New York. But I will also tell you that they are very bad on a federal level as well. And I mean, it is, our country is as divided as it has probably ever been since the Civil War. And some people have even thought that, you know, we could possibly be heading for one of them again if things, some of these things don't stop. But this is to show you how extreme the Democrats at the federal level are. One of their proposals with the government shutdown, by the way, my wife is part of the government shutdown, furlough, and I'll say this, and you can tell somebody you know them if they argue with you. So she's not receiving a paycheck. I would rather not get a paycheck than have a wall, than not have a wall and get a paycheck, because I think the wall is more important than my paycheck. And it wouldn't even bother me to donate one or two of them to go help fund the wall. Not that that would be very much of a drop in the bucket, but it wouldn't bother me at all to do that. So, but here's what the Democrats propose. We'll get some kind of a budget going, so, you know, to get the government reopened. And one of the things that the partial government shutdown, the Democrats' House want abortion funding. Now, what does abortion funding have to do with reopening the government? Not a thing. But that's how bizarre their thinking is. Now, this is from the state of New York. I don't know if some of you keep up with all of this stuff. Sometimes I think you're better off not if you want. It's very discouraging. On Tuesday, January 15th, both the House of the state of New York state legislature passed GENDA. That's Gender Expression Non-Discriminatory Act. We always refer to it as the bathroom bill. Under this new act, gender identity or expression is defined as, quote, a person's actual or perceived gender-related identity, appearance, behavior, expression, or other gender-related characteristics, regardless of the sex assigned to that person at birth, including, but not limited to, the status of being transgender. The act also expands New York's hate crime laws to include crimes against transgender and gender non-conforming people, which means if you or I speak out against them, the crime is hate crime speech. Homosexuality, now the transgender people, they are winning their way. Now here's the worst thing about it, I think. For several years, 8 years I believe, the the House has passed this particular bill. But for the past 8 years, the Senate has always blocked this bill. So it's never gone anywhere. So the recent vote, this ought to be very alarming to you. This is the score. The Senate had 42 yeas, we want gender, and only 19 nays. That's a wipeout. Here's the assembly. There's more people in the assembly. 105 A's, 43 nays. That's a slaughter. I mean, if you guys went to a basketball game, well, you realize if it's 105 to 43, the other team really got creamed. And that's what's happening with conservatism in New York State, and it's happening with conservatism all over the country, and even places like, you know, Idaho and things like that, where people used to be able to go and live a conservative life and everybody else around them did. Well, a lot of people are leaving California because it's so expensive to live there, and they're infiltrating some of these other states out west that were good states for years and years now. And they're bringing some of that liberal ideology with them, and the reason they're moving there is because of the price. And so because a lot of people can work from home on their computers and they don't need to go to work anymore, they can show up for a day or two in California, have a night or two in a motel, and still live a lot less expensive than if they were living in California. But they're taking this ideology to the more conservative states, and they're bringing that in there. And if you remember back in November when Ted Cruz barely won his Senate seat in Texas, which has always been a conservative state, but he barely won that seat. And a lot of it is because liberalism is creeping in everywhere, and it's very alarming, very concerning. In Hosea chapter 4, in verse 6, the Bible says this, and I think this is a problem. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A lot of people don't have knowledge about what does God's word say on some of these particular issues. So today we will talk about the sanctity of human life. And that's why the baby bottle. So don't forget to get them when you leave. I'll try to remember when I'm finished. But since Roe versus Wade in 1973, abortion has been a major issue. Every year at election time, it's a hot topic. And for Christians, and I don't know what your top five are, but for a Christian, it is always in somewhere in the top five. My opinion is it should not be all that controversial. Because for us, for Bible believers, we aren't really interested in the politician's opinion. We're interested in God's opinion. Because his opinion is really the only opinion that actually matters. And so while there is much emotion, and listen, God created us with emotion. But you better not allow your emotions to drive you. And you better not allow your emotions to cause you to make the decisions that you make. There's a lot of emotion over abortion. And there's a lot of opinions over abortion. But there needs to be knowledge from God's point of view. Now let me say something. Before I was a believer, I had no problem with people having abortions. And I was raised Catholic, by the way. But I had no problem with it. Then I got saved, and God began to change the way I thought because I had my mind transformed, renewed by the Word of God, and my whole thinking process changed. The only thing that's going to change the way some of these people think is salvation. By the way, I guess the bishop in New York City is contemplating excommunicating Governor Cuomo out of the church. That'd be awesome. That'd be good for the bishop. But I hope they do. I really hope they do. But that's pretty bad, you know, when your governor gets excommunicated out of a church that they're a part of. That does not speak highly for the state of New York. But before I was a believer, I didn't see anything wrong with it. But then I got to studying and got to thinking about what's God's opinion on this. And it was not until that I understood biblically that I took a position that abortion is absolutely wrong. And so he said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But I thought to myself, I'm going to get some knowledge on this. Now, in reality, it is more of a biblical issue than an emotional issue. Why do you say that? Because if the Supreme Court voted tomorrow to make abortion illegal, and they're not going to, you'd still have a battle. Because you still need to convince the American people that his abortion is wrong before Almighty God. A law will not bring instant purity. Purity comes when the heart of a nation is determined to live according to the dictates of God's word, and our nation is not ready to live according to the dictates of God's word. If the Supreme Court said tomorrow morning, there's no more abortions, there'd still be thousands of abortions because people in their hearts and in their thinkings are living in absolute rebellion against God. And so Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In Hebrew, it has the idea of remaining silent. This is the one issue that I will say that Christians have spoken out on more than any other issue. To perish or to find defeat. My people will be silent and hence shall or perish or be defeated for the lack of knowledge. And there is a lack of knowledge among God's people about God's opinion on the subject. And so what happens is this. When somebody, they're anti-abortion and this person is not anti-abortion and they begin to debate, there's a lot of emotion there and there's a lot of opinion there, but there's not a lot of knowledge there. We have to have some knowledge even in this area. Now what does God's word say? The Bible says, only the truth makes free. People need to know the truth. Now, a knowledge of truth sets free. That's not my opinion. I agree with that opinion, but it's not my original opinion. Some of you have the same opinion, but it's not your opinion originally. It's what God's word says it is. And Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. So what we want to do this morning here is see abortion as God sees it. And then once we know the truth, I think we are honor-bound to bring God's opinion and position to the forefront of our society. Now, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. It says in Psalm 43:1, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. We are living in a very ungodly nation. And it's changed. It has changed radically. I'll be 60 this year. I cannot believe it. But anyway, that's what I'll be. No age has ever bothered me. 30 didn't bother me. 40 didn't bother me. 50 didn't bother me. But this 6 in front of that 0, for some reason, that's got my gauge red. It ain't going to bother me any. Good, good. I hope that's what happens in November. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But it's like, and 60 years isn't that old. It's getting shorter. It's less and less old all the time, by the way. But I have watched this country change so much in my lifetime. Nobody would have ever dreamed same-sex marriage would have became the law of the land. Nobody would have ever thought that. Nobody would have ever imagined that the transgender, there would even have been such a thing as a transgender person. It's unbelievable. Chris was looking at something the other day on YouTube, I guess, and she showed me this video of a guy. This guy looks like the devil himself. I mean, he's got to have demons in him. He's got his teeth ground down like points. He's got his tongue split. So when he sticks, he's got his face is tattooed green. He just looks evil. I believe he is evil, but he looks that way. I'd have never dreamed in my life that people would be putting tattoos all over themselves. When we grew up, a guy would have a tattoo on his arm right here, military or something. That would be about it. Now, they're painted with them, just smeared all over. And it's just not right. But this is where we are today. Now, historically, the church has been silent in the days of adversity, but abortion was the first public outcry and still maybe is the biggest outcry among God's people. Somebody said that all that is required for the triumph of evil is for good men to say nothing. So before we look at abortion, there's a couple of things I want to say before I get there. I am convinced that at this service, and probably at the services to follow today, there will have been women and men who have been involved somehow in abortion. Understand that God forgives. And not only does God forgive, but God can remove the guilt. And so it is not the unpardonable sin. Sin, yes, but not the unpardonable sin, and God forgives. So let's use a series of questions. Turn to Jonah chapter 4. I'll come back to it again a little bit later on as we go through what the Bible says about this. What position do children have in the Bible? That's my first question. What position do children have in the Bible? Now, if you're in Hosea, it shouldn't only be a few pages away. So you should be there. Jonah 4, verse 10. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Now, we are talking about this morning aborting children. There's 120,000 right there, 60. I would suggest to you that them are all children. Now, when does life begin? The state of New York, I'm not sure when they say life begins. If you can take a baby when it's born, and it's born alive, because this law allows for abortion right up till 9 months, right? I mean, a second before the baby's delivered naturally. And you put it on a table, and it's alive, and you do not have to give it medical attention. Isn't something wrong with that? It's got to be murder, John. It has to be. So I'm not sure now when they say life begins in the state of New York. But Jonah was commissioned by God to go to Nineveh and preach a message of repentance. Jonah didn't have any love for the people of Nineveh. They weren't very good to the Jewish people. He had no love for them whatsoever. He didn't want to preach to those people. So he arrived by Nineveh. You probably know the story, by the way of a whale. And he preached, and to his shock, and very much to his sadness, Nineveh had great revival and they repented. The king commanded everyone in the kingdom to put on sackcloth and ashes and to eat bread and to drink no water. And that pagan country repented before God, and God gave them forgiveness and God gave them revival. Now note Jonas the preacher. How should the preacher have responded to that? Oh, he should have rejoiced, man. Not Jonah. Jonah wasn't even happy. As a matter of fact, Jonah was angry. He went out, he sat under a juniper tree, and he began to pout because God didn't do what he wanted him to do. Now, why, God, did you do that? Why did you grant them forgiveness and revival? Now, notice what it says. Then said the Lord, Thou hast pity on the gourd. I'll give you an interpretation of the gourd. Creature comforts. Everybody likes them. For that which hast thou not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? There's 120,000, God told Jonah, who don't know their left hand from their right hand. That's children. Shouldn't I spare that city for those children? Jesus said in Luke 8, 18 and verse 16, But Jesus called on them and unto him and said, Suffer the little children to come unto me, for and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible gives a very special, loving, compassionate place to children. Jesus, when he taught, he picked them up, set them on his lap, kissed them, he embraced them, and he blessed them. And if he did that, shouldn't we as a nation? Also, in the Old Testament, orphans and widows were permitted to harvest the corners of the field. You've probably read that in the book of Ruth, where they would harvest the field. If this was a field, they would cut the corners short, which makes it easier if you're running a tractor, but they didn't have any of them. But anyway, the crops were left in those corners for the widows and for the orphans. So they had a place where they could go gather some food because they wanted to preserve them. Yet in America, we end their life and break our own constitution. In the Bible, they have a very high place. They are inheritance of the Lord. That's what we read in Psalm 127. Now, what is abortion? Abortion is the termination of a fetus. A fetus is a term they use for developing human being. Before 1972, abortions were only allowed in extreme cases. But then on January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States reversed their position on abortion, and they were allowed to abort babies for a few months. Then it was expanded to 6 months. And now we have taken how many lives? So I checked this out just the other day. This is about as recent as figures as I could come up with. Over 60 million American citizens have been aborted, to the tune of 3,657 a day. That's a lot. I mean, that is unbelievable. Since Roe versus Wade, by the way, before Roe versus Wade, there were 3 states that allowed for abortion. What do you think one of them was? Of course it was. New York, California, and Colorado. It's amazing. Isn't Colorado the first state that legalized recreational marijuana? I know it's one of them out there. Now, isn't it amazing these 3 states keep popping up? I want you to go to Exodus chapter 21. That would average out to be, these numbers are staggering, but that would average out to be about 152 every hour a baby is being aborted somewhere in the United States. Now you're in Exodus, did I say numbers? Exodus 21, verse 22. If man strive and hurt a woman with child, so she's pregnant, so that her fruit depart from her, she lost her baby, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. We destroy the fetus, a developing human being. Pro-abortion, as people say, it's not a developing human being, it's a blob. That's how they see that. Now let's go a little further, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the light, oh wait, I heard your pages. I like it when I hear pages turning. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Verse 14, for it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. So we know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So where, this is a simple observation, where there is blood, there is life. God is the giver of life. Medical science says it can detect life because it can hear a heart rate just a few days after a baby is conceived into a womb. What does a heart do? It pumps blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. If the heart's pumping blood, then obviously there must be life there. Ever see a heart beat on a screen? You know, the new sonograms they have and all that now? It's amazing. You see everything. There's life. Look at Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 21. I'm going to give a kind of a graphic story here in just a moment. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord, a name of thy God, I am the Lord. Now, we don't sacrifice our children with fire as the Satanists do. Instead, we burn them with saline solution and forceps and suction cups. Now, this is a little bit of a graphic story, but just if it gets a little, I guess if it gets to be too much for you, but most of you are adults in here, you can handle it. It's true. It's a book called The Scarlet Lady, and it's a confession of a successful abortionist, and it was written by Carol Everett. And she tells how young people would go for abortions, but they'd sometimes be killed through botched abortions. And then they would change the medical record in the doctor's office that she worked in so they would not be sued. But this is how she described one of the more graphic problematic ones that they had. She remembered a patient, she said, of a 27-year-old girl from a small town in Arkansas who came in with her parents. She was about 20 weeks pregnant at the time. Dr. Johnson, who examined her, determined that he could do the operation using local anesthesia and a small dose of Valium. Harvey started the abortion, but discovered that the baby was too far advanced. Its muscle structure was so strong that the baby would not come apart. After almost an hour on the table, with six nurses pulling and holding the woman from Harvey, the baby's body finally separated from the head and came out. Then Harvey worked and worked to crush the skull and remove it. It was a long ordeal for both the woman and Dr. Johnson. The baby's body was too large to go down the garbage disposal, so Dr. Harvey suggested it be taken to a competitor's trash receptacle, so it was, if it was found, it would be in their trash and not ours. And so she did what the doctor told her to do. Now that's America's abortion bills. And she went on and said this, abortion is not about women's rights. Abortion is about making big bucks, lots of money. It is really nothing more than murder for hire, and it's sanctified by the Supreme Court of our country. It's an awful thing. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It was Pharaoh, if you remember, who attacked the Hebrew children and drowned male members in the Nile River. It was Herod who slaughtered the children who were 2 years of age and down, trying to stop Jesus from coming to this earth to die for the sins of the world. And I hate to say this, but America is no better. It is Satan who leads an attack in this in America today. Because where there is blood, there is life. Now let me ask another question. Is there a penalty to pay for taking the life in the womb? God's word says, love the children. Satan's objective, evidently, is to kill the children. But is there a penalty to pay? Who would you say is having their way in America on this particular issue right now? Well, we would say the devil is. In part, because the blood of children who have been murdered in America, abortion clinics, our government, what's amazing to me is our government can't see that these little babies are nothing more than a blob. And it's hard to believe that today because of the technology in the screening. You can see it's obvious it's a baby. And yet they say no. And God says something like this. I hear the blood of the innocent crying, and behold, the tear of every child that is murdered in its mother's womb, and I am their avenger. And the land of America is under my judgment because you have taken the life that I have given and have destroyed it, and you must answer for it. You see, the wrath of God. Did you remember what we read back there in Exodus and Leviticus? Life for life. Now you think about this. Let's compare Hitler's Holocaust with abortion in America's day. Hitler taught that the Jews were subhuman. That's Nazi philosophy. Americans that teach that babies are a blob of flesh. That they're not really human. What's the big difference between Hitler and us? Hitler said, Jews should be killed en masse. In America, babies are being killed at a rate of about 3,700 people a day. Hitler said the ashes of the Jews are to be used to make soap. America, the fetuses or babies are being used to manufacture cosmetic and they're used for medical research. That's where the money part comes in. It's tough to turn your nose up at Hitler because we're no better. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 21 again. I know we read it, but let's read it again. If the fetus, is it alive? Does it have personality? Now I've got several references I want to look at in here, so keep your Bible on your lap. God says that any woman with a child has life. And if harm comes to that fetus, he said there, we'll read it one more time, you are to pay life for life. Exodus 21, 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Didn't God consider that baby to be a life? He wouldn't have had that kind of a severe punishment. God says if you hurt a pregnant woman,
and that baby in the womb is lost, you have to forfeit your life. Why? Because that which was in her womb was life. The Bible does not teach that it is a blob of flesh. Now let's look a little bit further. Isaiah chapter 49. The next thing we want to consider is this. And some of you are probably familiar with several of these references. Is the fetus alive? Does God know? Some of them. Does God even know their name? And as soon as I can get this Bible to turn pages, I keep going between 48 and 50. I might have to get somebody to help me. I'm having such a hard time. Anyway, Isaiah 49, verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Now look at verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. God knew Isaiah from the womb. God even knew his name. God knew he was life, not just a blob. Now go ahead a little bit further to Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Would God ordain a meaningless blob? Because what's inside the mother's belly is not a blob of flesh. It is life sophisticated enough for Almighty God to already have had a relationship with it. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. As we continue to think about, is the fetus alive? Does it have personality? The one with Jeremiah is very well known. This one here is well known as well. Luke 1, verse 14 and 15. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And that's a reference to who? Okay, John, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now John leaped in his mother's womb because he was responding to the power of God in his mother's womb. That's not a meaningless blob of flesh. I don't think so. The baby had a spiritual experience even before it was born. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 25. I don't know how any Bible believer could even think about voting for somebody who was off on this particular issue. Genesis 25 and verse 21. This is a divine sonogram right here. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. So now they're in the womb and they're struggling. I know siblings can have rivalries, but this is getting crazy here, man. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. What'd God do? She went to inquire of the Lord. God looked in her womb. He didn't see a blob of flesh. He knew their names. He knew their destiny. He knew their character. He knew their temperament. He knew because they were alive and they were a people and they had a soul and they had a purpose and they were not just flesh to be flushed down the commode in an abortion clinic somewhere. They were vessels of God, and they were precious, and they were holy, and they deserved the right to life. Psalm 127 said, children are heritage of the Lord, and blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. Do you ever, I assume you've thought about this. In America, we protect whales, and we protect eagles, and we murder and slaughter babies. And I'm not against protecting eagles. And we have one time I saw four eagles at the same time come over our house. I mean, I know I've only seen it once, but we have a couple eagles that are there all the time. And but they are nothing like a baby. There's no comparison. It's a kind of an amazing thing, but the very crowd that is against the death penalty is for abortion. Now, how does that make sense? In their logic, they want murderers to live. They won't say this, but logically, they want murderers to live and innocent babies to be killed. That doesn't make any sense. So it's time for Christians to go to the voting booths and refuse to continue to put any politician in office who stands for abortion of any kind. We need to get them out because it brings a curse on the nation. Here's another question. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 6. Does a woman have the right to her own body and over the fetus? First Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Well, actually, verse 18 as well. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. You don't have a right to that. You're not your own. Your body doesn't really belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. And once a baby is in you, he is sharing that body and he has a divine right to life in the counsel of God. Thomas Jefferson wrote in our Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The right to life is guaranteed by our Constitution, but I guess it isn't. Actually, before the Constitution was written, God already said that they had a right to life. But it's supposed to be a constitutional guarantee. Abortion is contrary to the very Constitution of America. That's why I think somebody ought to take Cuomo and these people to sue him. One thing, of course, politicians don't do this often, but our politicians ought to uphold the Constitution like they promised to do. She already made her choice, this lady. Did you know abstinence works every time? You'll never get pregnant if you abstain from physical relationships. It's just a simple fact. It works all the time. Do you have a right over your own body? Not biblically. Now, in marriage, human physical relationships are fine. But outside of it, not so much. Another question. let's see. Go make your way back to Isaiah chapter 10. My next question is this. Let me get to Isaiah first. And this is where we begin to see why we are having problems. Is there judgment on legislators who pass laws making godless things possible? The answer is yes, there is. Look at Isaiah 10, verse 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed. So here's what they've done. Same-sex marriage is wonderful. And how long do you think it takes Governor Cuomo to sign these things? As soon as they hit their desk, man, his pen is in his hand ready. This abortion bill, he said when they won the House this year, he said within the first 100 years, this is our first goal, abortion expansion. 100 days, you knew what I meant. God bless us. God help us. He'd never live 100 years. But anyway, within the first 100 days, that was number one. Agenda's number two. The SAFE Act will be brought up again real soon, too, by the way. And that'll involve more than just Christians. That's one that could cause a real stink in the state. The biggest rally that I've ever been at in Albany, it's sad it was this one and not abortion and same-sex marriage, but both of those were pretty big. But the gun rally, I mean, it was huge. They were bussing in people from all over the state. And these guys were coming in there, and their chant of the day was, Cuomo's got to go, Cuomo's got to go, Cuomo's got to, and over and over and over. This one here, he's going to have a real battle on his hands when he gets to that one. But God seems very clear here. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievousness which they have prescribed. And that is exactly what they have done. Proverbs 6:16 says, God, there's certain things that God hates. And one of them is hands that shed innocent blood. He lists, there's seven things he lists. There's six things God hates, seven are an abomination unto him. But one of them is hands that shed innocent blood. Unborn children are innocent. God hates abortion. His judgment is upon legislators that pass legislation making godless things possible. Can you imagine why our government is in such chaos and confusion? It's because they're in such violation of God's word, not only here, but certainly here, without question here. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. You going to read verse 5 and 6, Pastor? No. Does God expect believers to help those who are defenseless? Verse 8 and 9. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor, that's not the verses I wanted. It's Proverbs 31. I said 3, but I meant, I screwed up. Proverbs 31. That's right. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth. Judge righteously. Now, I know we're not supposed to judge. Judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. We are. We're supposed in our mouth and say something. God expects us to help those that are defenseless. Nobody is more defenseless than a baby in a womb of a mom. And then a couple more passages here. Let's go to Psalm 41. I'm glad we only sang 3 songs this morning. Gives me more time. Psalm 41, verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Now, the Bible says that there's some benefits of those who's going to help the oppressed, that they will be delivered in times of trouble, that there will be preservation will be theirs, and they will have a blessed life. In Matthew, Jesus said, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as much as ye have done it unto the one of least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So it'll lead me to a conclusion. How can we stop the slaughter of unborn babies? Because they just keep expanding it and expanding it and expanding it. Number one, and I've said this, people have got to stop voting for politicians and pro-abortion people. Stop federal funds for abortion clinics like Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood doesn't offer anybody anything they can't get somewhere else with the exception of abortion. They don't offer anything. And it's all taxpayers-funded money. I know a young man, I think he lives in the state of New York. I'm not 100% positive on that. I haven't seen him in a few years. But he decided that everything he does, he tries to do cash only. And I said, well, that's kind of shady. He says, I'm tired of my money going to pay for abortions. Now, I'm not promoting that, but I understand what he's saying. I get it. I mean, this is just, this is, you, the Planned Parenthood, one of the things I did, and I know Trump pushed for it, they need to stop funding Planned Parenthood. If they stop some of these particular programs, and I can list a lot of them, you know they'd have more than $5 billion to build a security wall. By the way, I want to mention the wall. That's not part of my message, but I'll mention it just to say this. Somebody asked me this the other day. Well, what's the difference between this wall and the Berlin Wall? I said, well, like night and day. Well, what, how's that? I said, the Berlin Wall was to keep people in so they could never find freedom. This wall is to protect us so we can keep our freedom. They're not even close to the same. I can't believe people can't think that through it even a little bit. Anyways, Christians need to get involved and go to the voting booth and start voting. There are supposedly 40 million evangelical Christians. I question the number of those that are truly saved. But if 40 million so-called evangelical Christians would vote pro-life and anti-abortion, you know that'd make a difference on our presidents and on our senators and on our congresswomen and our congressmen that are in Washington and in Albany. By the way, those who say they are pro-choice, Hitler was pro-choice. Hitler chose to say the Jews ought to die. That was his choice. It wasn't their choice. The baby doesn't get a choice. If we don't use our freedom to preserve our freedom, we will lose our freedom. Abortion is the shedding of innocent blood, and the shedding of innocent blood brings the curse of God on the land, because God will avenge innocent blood. When Cain slew Abel, God said, "The blood of your brother crieth out from the ground. Blood cries for vengeance." God cursed Cain for shedding innocent blood. King David could not build the temple because he shed innocent blood. The innocent blood that he shed was Uriah's. It wasn't the other blood that was shed in battle, but it was Uriah's blood. There is a judgment on legislators who pass these laws. There's a second thing we can do. We have a little bit of time left. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9. There is something about this. We can confess the sins of our fathers. Daniel 9 and verse 3. "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fastings and sackcloth and ashes." I mean, this wasn't just a prayer, buddy. Daniel's serious. He said, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said." Now, you notice he said my confession. Daniel didn't sin. What was he confessing? He was confessing the sins of his fathers. "O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned," and Israel was guilty, "and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." We're no better. We're no better. We ought to pray like Daniel. We ought to confess the sins of our nation. In Psalm 106, God allowed Israel to be captured by foreign power. The United States has been turned over to the hand of the heathen. It's unbelievable. Drugs by foreign governments who know that they can corrupt our children and destroy their minds and their bodies and make us weak. When you defy the laws of God, God begins to tighten down the screws until it gets so unbearable that somebody gets an idea. Hey, maybe we upset God. Well, maybe. Maybe God is displeased. And I would say America needs to wake up as a nation, or America as a nation will be no more. And I lean that way more and more. When a baby is aborted, nobody asks any questions about it. Doesn't make the news. But God in heaven is keeping track. He has measured every drop of innocent blood, and he's going to avenge it, and he will avenge it one of these days. Someone may ask this: what about the malformed? A doctor really can't tell for sure a lot of times if a baby is malformed. They certainly have come a long way with that. I mean, when Jimmy and Brittany lost their baby, they knew. They just knew. And so they've come a long way. But I think God would say, give life a chance. My sister Jenny, you know Alan. Well, when she was pregnant with Alan, don't ask me how, the doctors never could figure out she was pregnant. So when she was 12, she had a heart issue. She had a blood infection and ate a hole in her aorta valve. She also had a murmur there to begin with. When they went in to fix the murmur, they found this where the hole was in her aorta valve. But They weren't prepared to fix it, so they fixed it the best they could, but they said, you'll probably have problems down the road. So down the road, she's pregnant with Alan now, and she has to have a valve job on her heart. They're going to put a pig valve in her. She's had 3 or 4 of them. And anyway, because it wears out after 10 years, she gets another one. So they go in. She has all the surgery, all the radiation. She's exposed to all kinds of x-ray and radioactivity and blah, 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 blah. And after the surgery, they found out that she's pregnant. So the doctor says, we highly recommend you abort that baby. Jenny's like, she's a Christian. She goes, that's not an option. And they really tried to talk her into it. She says, no, we'll see what God does, but that's not an option. Well, Alan is born. Can you just find any malfunctions in him? No, I'm sure we could find some mentally if we tried hard enough. But my point is, the doctor said abort the baby. There's not a thing wrong with the baby. He's played football in high school and college. He has his own painting business today. There's nothing wrong with him physically or mentally that we know of. Understand something, that over 1 million babies are aborted in America every year. It is legal now to abort all the way to delivery. Understand that minors can get abortion on demand without parental knowledge and consent in almost every state. Medical evidence continues to grow, supporting humanity of embryos and fetus. Abortion techniques are very painful for the baby. Husbands have no right to the decision if an unborn child is to live or die. Unborn babies can receive medical treatment. I got to finish. I got to give you one more story, then I'll have to get done. In 1982, I went to Duke University. This is why I'm a Duke fan. And where's Jerry? And I had open heart surgery there because I was born with a birth defect. And the only place in the world that could fix it was Duke University. So I went there. And it was the year that North Carolina was playing Georgetown in the championship game. Well, I'm a Big East fan, so I was rooting for Georgetown. But trust me, they were doing heart surgery on me. I didn't let anybody know that I was rooting for Georgetown and against somebody from North Carolina. Anyway, while I'm there having my surgery, because it's in the heart ward there, they brought a woman in who was pregnant, and they were going to do heart surgery, that's why she was in where I was, on a baby's heart still in the womb of the mother. That was way back in 1982. Now they do what I have as outpatient. Back then it was open heart surgery. But my point is, if it's just a blob of flesh, how come they can do heart surgery on it in the womb? Abortion is dangerous to the mother physically, psychologically, emotionally. A lot of them after that, they go to alcohol, they go to drugs. And by the way, only 0.5% to 1% of all abortions are done for hardship reasons like rape, incest, and dangers to a mother's life. And that's it. So people want to make a big deal out of it. There's no big deal. Just don't do it. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And when we as a nation violate the word of God, we bring the judgment of God upon ourselves. America's number one problem ultimately is they're going to have to face God on this. The deliberate defiance of his word. It's not the only area, but it's one area. Now, that is kind of an overview of what the Bible teaches about the fetus and about abortion. God can forgive. God can heal our land. But the righteous have got to speak. If a politician was off here, and this will never happen, but hypothetically speaking, but they're right everywhere else, I don't think I'd vote for them. I wouldn't vote for them. But that'll never happen, because usually when they're right on abortion, they're going to be right on a whole lot of other things as well. And I wouldn't vote for them because it brings a curse on our country. Anyway, my time is expired. Let's pray this morning. Faith, you just stay right there. Father, this is an awful blight on our nation. We confess our sin to you. We are guilty. We have sinned. We shed innocent blood. It's just deplorable. And I pray that we would understand biblically this issue, and that we keep on fighting regardless of what Governor Cuomo and the senators and legislators did recently. We'll fight because it's right. We'll stand where you stand, to the best of our ability. And God, help us. Help us not to compromise at all. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to have your head bowed and your eye closed. I want you to pray about this issue. If you know somebody that's thinking about an abortion, you pray for that person, try to get them some help. Pray for, confess the sin of our nation. Oh God, would you forgive us? Would you give us, it would be a miracle, but we believe you can still work miracles. Would you give us some politicians who are pro-life, anti-abortion, and would you have mercy on us? We know we don't deserve it. We watch, we see, we know. And let, Lord, we know that you are a God of mercy. You sent a revival to Nineveh. You could do that here. I don't want to think that America has gone too far. So we would pray that you would heal our land of this ungodly wickedness. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to get these bottles. Fill them up with change. You can throw a dollar or two in if you want to. Your kids can participate in that as well. Fill them up. Bring them. You say, well, what if I don't put change in it? Bring it back anyways because they are recycled. They use the same ones. Our names are on these. We turn them in. They bring them back. It's just the way it works. All right. So make sure you take those and put change in them. Also, we have a Valentine banquet.